The first reading can be found on page 203 in the back of the Pew Bibles and on page 1825 in the large print version. It's taken from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and then 13 to 25. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the Gospel reading, which you will find on page 118 at the back of the Pew Bible and on page 1689 in the large print version. Reading from John, chapter 16, verses 5 to 15. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that by your Spirit we may know your truth, the truth of you, Lord God, and may our hearts be open to receive you today. Amen. What is truth? Do you remember that sort of enigmatic question that Pontius Pilate gave to Jesus after Jesus was standing in front of Pontius Pilate at his trial, and Jesus said, I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate says, what is truth? And we could say, what is truth for us in 21st century Western culture? And I think we'll probably agree that the idea of a grand truth, an overarching truth, a grand narrative, like the Christian narrative, has become less popular. People like to make up their own truth, you know, kind of pick and mix, really. Well, I decide I'm going to believe in this and a bit of this, maybe a few crystals here and a few this, that, and the other there, and that's my truth, and you can't argue with me because it's mine. And it's tricky for Christians because Jesus said quite clearly that he came to proclaim the overarching truth, the truth of God. And that's what we'll be looking at this morning in the third of our sermon series on John's Gospel and the Holy Spirit. And this is the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. And if you want to follow what I'm going to say, you could open your Bibles again at page 118 at the back, looking at John 16 at our Gospel reading. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the fact that he's got to go away. He's leaving, but he will send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with his followers. And actually, that'll be a blessing to them. It'll be good, even though they'll be full of sorrow, of course, of losing the person of Jesus with them. And then Jesus starts to unpack some of the truths that the Holy Spirit will bring to the world. And they're a little bit tricky. So we'll look a bit closely at them. In verse 8, when she comes, forgive me, like Sam, I like to call the Holy Spirit she, and I don't think it's heresy, but anyway, it's just sort of balances things up a bit. Then when she comes, she will convict the world, that is, prove the world wrong about three things, about sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, are they your favorite words today? Sin? Righteousness? What does righteousness mean? In this context, putting ourselves right with God, I suppose. Judgment? Don't you like a bit of judgment? They're not words that are favourites in the world today, are they? But Jesus is going to unpack them a little bit. So the Holy Spirit is going to be active in the world, going out and preparing people's hearts to kind of convict the world about these three things. And that is great. Don't you think that's great? Because the Holy Spirit isn't just for those of us who sit in these pews. The Holy Spirit is for everybody. And God wants everybody to come to him and learn the truth about him. And so the Holy Spirit is active all over the place. And it's very important that we have eyes to see where the Holy Spirit is preparing hearts to receive the truth. So, and the world, by the way, is John the Gospel writer's way of saying those who don't understand God's truth, the world. We tend to think of us in here, we understand. Those out there don't understand, which is very simplistic, much too simplistic. But here we are. So in verse 8, we've had that. Verse 9. The Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about sin because they don't believe in Jesus. Human beings are basically very self-centered and egotistic. Sorry about that, but even though you're sitting in these beautiful pews and you, hopefully know about God, you're still basically self and egotistic. It's how we're made as human beings. Very tricky. We put ourselves right in the middle of everything. It's just our nature. And this is the core sin of pride. And if you were here on Good Friday, we had the massive cross. and we were nailing sins into it. And several people picked up the big notice saying, pride, and banged it into the cross. We know that we have this sin of pride, putting self first. And pride leads to unbelief, because when you believe in Jesus, you put God in the center, not yourself. And so being full of pride means that belief is difficult. And in fact, all sin, all wrongdoing and thinking gets in the way of our relationship with God. And you know, it's the Holy Spirit who stirs in us our conscience. Now, where do you think the conscience resides? I don't know. A heart or the head or a big mixture of both? I don't know. Anyway, the Holy Spirit will stir up consciences to know that you are actually a lovely load of sinners. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we're convicted of our sin. And the culture that we live in doesn't do sin. It does, this is how I choose to behave. This is what I choose to do. So if I choose to leave my marriage and go and, have adultery, I don't see it as a sin. I see it as something I choose to do. Lots and lots of stuff like that. So it's pretty tricky for Christians to negotiate their way around about that. Secondly, verse 10, the Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about righteousness. That's putting yourself right with God, because Jesus is going to the Father. Now, I found that I needed to think about that. Human beings putting themselves in the center have the mistaken belief, and I think we probably all do a bit of this, that we can earn our way to be in relationship with God. We can do the good deeds. We can choose which good deeds. I do loads of good deeds. Therefore, I'm fine with God. We can be in control. We've got choices. We can be in control. Submission is hard for us, for us all. Jesus says, well, no, actually, Jesus is on the way to his Father, and we know that, but he will be stopping by at the cross. And actually, that's where salvation happens. That's where we gain our righteousness with God, our closeness with God, because of Jesus's Jesus's work of forgiveness on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And because of that work on the cross, freely given by Jesus, we can become close to God again. So that was the second one. The third one in verse 11 is tricky. The Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about judgment, because the ruler of the world has been condemned. The ruler of the world we could call the evil one, the Satan, the prince of darkness. And he actually has enslaved all creation. And we know that he works very hard in the world, and we see the results of his work everywhere. And we are enslaved by him. But actually, the world has got it wrong. We're not enslaved by him. We are not, because of Jesus on the cross. Jesus has condemned the evil one. Jesus has disempowered the evil one. So if the world thinks that the devil has the power, actually, we say, no, 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 no. So the Holy Spirit will be speaking straight into guilty hearts, convicting them of these truths, of sins, of wrongdoing and thinking, of our need for salvation that only Christ can give. We can't earn it. And of the need to be free from the harsh judgment that results from bondage to the evil one. In other words, the Holy Spirit's work is to soften hearts to receive the message of salvation. So if you've received the message of salvation by Jesus, your hearts have already been softened by the Holy Spirit, even though you probably didn't know it at the time. And that's the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. She works inside ourselves, with no great fanfare. She just works and works and works away. And then, back to our passage, it's as if Jesus gives a big sigh, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But don't worry, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, she will guide you into all the truth. For she won't speak on her own, but will speak whatever she hears. Because after all, the Holy Spirit is part a person in the Holy Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So she listens to all that's going on in the Trinity, and that's the truth that she speaks. Then verse 14 to 15, she will glorify me, that's Jesus, because she will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus, never to herself. And her work is to make Jesus known to you. So if you have an understanding of who Jesus is in your life, that's the Holy Spirit's work. Because Jesus is the true reflection of God's nature and God's truth. So actually, the truth she tells is quite simply the whole revelation of God in Jesus Christ. That's him coming from heaven, his incarnation on the earth, his embodying of the kingdom of God, his salvation work on the cross and in the resurrection. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus, the full, perfect, sufficient revelation of God. If you see Jesus, if you get to know Jesus, you get to know the Father. It's wonderful. So simple. Hey-ho. And what about the world? John's the world, who don't actually know about the truth of God. Now, the problem is for all of us is because we're human beings, we are part of that world. And all of you know how difficult it is sometimes to live in the culture of the Western world. How much do you behave just like your neighbours? Or how much do you live counterculturally? It's a very tricky thing. Because in the world out there, we see people who want to be in control. Well, I love being in control too. Who put themselves in the centre. Oh, so do I. And who are sceptical often and are unbelieving. The world is besotted with power. And not God's power, unfortunately, but the power of the world. And we see that in leaders, despots, and so on. But ordinary people, too, getting power in their work and misusing it sometimes. And the violence and the lies. Well, we may not choose to do violence, but don't we love watching it on TV? I don't know. And the love of objects. We all like to gather, don't we? Like to buy. We live in a consumerist age. And because of that, there's greed and envy. And instant gratification. Don't we love Amazon Prime? Oh, next day, please. The world is in bondage to all these things. And it's only through the Holy Spirit, the truth teller, that we can really understand Jesus and his redeeming work. How he brings us bondage from... Well, he gives us freedom from bondage to ourselves, actually, without, you know, putting ourselves so much in the center. It's only through the Holy Spirit, the truth teller, that we can begin to touch the edge of the loving relationship that is the Trinity. And if you've never seen the little icon we've got around here, this is the icon, the Rubelev Trinity, and those of you who've been to church a long time, we'll know this intimately, but it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a representation, and one day we'll give you a lovely talk about it because it's beautiful. But you can see the place. Those of you can't, sorry if you can't see it. There's a table with the three figures around it, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the front, there's a place for us. The Spirit will scoop us up. I always imagine the Spirit reaching her hand and scooping me up so that I can participate in the life of the Trinity. And that's for the sake of the world. It's a powerful, powerful thing. And it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can understand a bit of that. Only a bit, I can tell you. And it's only through the Holy Spirit, the truth teller, that we may begin to be truth tellers ourselves. And this is a bit of a ghastly thing, isn't it? Oh, have I got to go and be an evangelist? Have I got to go and stand on street corners and wave my banner? And of course, it's not quite like that necessarily. Some people are called to be evangelists, but we can do it in amazing ways. We can be truth tellers, witnessing to the all-powerful, all-merciful, all-loving God in Jesus. And I've suggested three little ways, but there are many, many more. Firstly, the Holy Spirit within us will give us God's power and energy to enable us to be truth tellers by transforming our lives. Now, if you're full of this Holy Spirit, and kind of we've been preaching on this a lot recently, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, your lives will be transformed. Even if you don't recognize it, other people will. And we had that gorgeous passage from Galatians, didn't we? And the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, self-control, and all those things, anyway. And they will fill your lives. Your lives will be transformed. And then people will notice, and they will go out, they will see you and be transformed themselves by the joy of looking at you and experiencing you. Well, we hope, anyway. And then the second thing is the Holy Spirit will give God's power and energy to enable us to be truth tellers by our acts of service. And we do acts of service from here, don't we? And I'm looking at Zoe at the back. She's got an operation tomorrow, which I'm sure we'll be speaking about soon. But she has had this Holy Spirit laid upon her heart, this thing about make lunch, helping children who have holiday hunger. This is acts of service. And the compassion and love that is shown out there in the world when we do acts of service is all through the Holy Spirit, telling that truth into our hearts. And the third thing, we'll become truth tellers by sharing the gospel. Well, of course we share the gospel, but an easy way of sharing your love of God, love of Jesus, love of the Holy Spirit, is by telling your story, telling the story of your journey of faith, a little bit of it. You know, have you had an experience of God? Tell people, and nobody can argue with that. Because you say, this is my experience, and I'm telling you, I'm laying it before you. And people can be very moved by other people's stories in the world today. So they are three transformative ways. Transformed lives, showing your lives transformed by the Holy Spirit in the world. Transformed acts of service. We have as church and individuals can go out and be show the Holy Spirit's truth by that those acts of service, and telling stories, telling our own story, telling the story of Jesus. And believe me, the Holy Spirit will give you words to speak and sensitivity to when to speak, because that's what the Holy Spirit did 2,000 years ago to the baby church. And look what happened. Woo! Everybody was filled with boldness. So we need the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we can be truth tellers to our broken, lost, unbelieving world.